The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier and Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, hello and welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition for this week. This week's show is a continuation of sorts from last week's show, where we were doing kind of a things that make you go, themed show based on some fun facts, information that came from a recent Ed Slott conference that Jim attended. It was a couple-day conference recently in Orlando, and as usual, Jim brings back a nice bag full of info that is of interest to a lot of people that are managing this wild world of IRAs and retirement. So we're going to continue on that. There were quite a few in the overall list of things. We got through about five of them or so last week, and it was so much fun, we decided to do it again this week. So I don't think we're going to make this a beyond a two-part series unless things get real exciting here, but that's where we're headed today. So Jim, thanks for bringing your list. I know you had to pick kind of the next five best ones or so, but if last week was any indication, I personally will find today's show interesting. I guess I shouldn't say it like that, because that makes it sound like some of the shows we do I'm not interested in, but I will admit some are more interesting than others. So last week was more interesting than average to me. So hope.
Well, that's why we're doing it again. You spoke very highly of it. You wanted to keep doing it.
I don't know if I didn't get any feedback from listeners one way or the other. I don't, they generally direct it towards you. So did you get anybody else who said, yeah, I agree with Chris. I like that show.
Negative. I have not.
Oh, well, that's too bad. So hopefully it's not just me who likes it.
So nobody has agreed with you, but folks, this show is being done this way solely to placate Chris, who last week said he enjoyed it and he wanted another.
Nice.
So hopefully there's at least one other person out there.
Well, consider this, Jim. Good timing. Next week is my birthday, so this can be my early birthday present.
Next week is April 1st already? God, where the hell does the year go?
Crazy. First quarter's down here in a few days.
God. Time goes too fast when you get older. Yeah. It's too fast. I can't believe it's already your birthday on April 1st.
No.
All right. Anyways, you just depressed me. I'm getting old.
I thought you only got depressed on your own birthday.
Goes by too fast. My birthday is horrendous. Although we do call my birthday what?
Chocolate cake with white frosting day.
Chocolate cake and white frosting day. I have not had chocolate cake with white frosting since my birthday. Actually, since the day after my birthday. I had one piece on my birthday and one piece after my birthday.
Mm. Well, maybe.
And longtime listeners will know it is not deep, rich German chocolate and cream cheese frosting. Disgusting. I want the cheapest Walmart or King Supers or whatever Kroger type cake from their bakery department, if you can even call it that. The cake with all the, it's like sponge. It's got all the little holes in it from the air they pump into the batter. That's what I want.
Remind me, though, does it need to be the cake shape, or are you okay with that style just as a cupcake? Because cupcakes actually are more convenient.
Cupcakes are convenient. You ask me this all the time. I prefer the cake shape.
Okay.
But in a pinch, I'll go with the cupcake.
Okay. See, I only have to ask this question once a year, and I always forget it by the next year. That's why I have to
ask. It doesn't matter. You always send the admin out to get it. Last year it was your daughter. This year it'll be Joe you're sending out to get the cake, and we put it on the business credit card.
But someone needs to provide the guidance. Just get the cupcakes, or no, make sure it's a rectangular cake shape. Or
Joe is competent enough, plus she's known me for...
Yeah. True.
Years and years and years. She knows what to get. She doesn't need to be told. Okay. She'll get it, and I'll eat two pieces.
And we'll all choke it down.
Yeah. And it's sad that Keely in the office can't eat it because of her dietary restrictions. She can't have my chocolate cake with white frosting.
Yeah.
She doesn't now, seem, last year,
she doesn't seem
Myanna,
too broken up about it. But
no, but Myanna got her a cake. I don't know where the hell she got it. Mm-hmm. She got a cake that Keely could eat.
Yep.
I don't think anybody else would enjoy eating it. It had everything that you love about a cheap cake was removed.
I'm pretty sure hers was an upgrade over your basic.
No, it wasn't made out of flour or anything. It didn't have anything good in it. Had all this stuff that she wasn't allergic to. But anyways, maybe Joe can get Keely that. So when we celebrate Chocolate Cake with White Frosting Day, everybody at the firm can participate. And maybe Jake and Greg, maybe we'll mail you a chocolate cake with white frosting, and you too can join
in. Well, the style cake that you like tends to last for a very long time because of the preservatives. So,
oh, absolutely.
We totally could ship it all over the world, and everyone could have a fresh piece of cake.
We can ship the cake from the office, then we'll mail it to North Carolina for Greg, and then Greg can mail it to Chicago for Greg. I mean, for Jake, and then, well, we sent it back to Georgia. Actually, probably makes sense to go from North Carolina to Georgia, so Travis can have a piece, and that's it. Everybody else will be kind of local, and they can get a piece. All right, enough of that silliness. I'm going to begin with what I thought I would end with, only because it's my show, and we can do that. And I think if anything is going to cause confusion, and further emails, it will be what, Chris? What always, for some bizarre reason, because we have very intelligent listeners, VGs, engineer style people, do-it-yourself investors. But there's one thing that we talk about that confuses them incessantly, but also recently confused, oh God, don't tell me her name. That woman.
Susie.
Thank you, Susie. I told you not to tell me that.
Well, it was painful waiting.
Well, because Cindy Lauper was in my head, and I knew it wasn't her, and I didn't want to say Cindy Lauper and look like a fool until you said Susie Orman. Yeah. How the hell did I get Cindy Lauper out of Susie Orman?
I don't even ask those questions anymore.
Lord only knows what my head comes up with, but I only had Cindy Lauper in my head. Yeah. Susie Orman screwed up as well. What is it, Chris?
Well, that let the cat out of the bag for sure. It's the Roth 5-year rules.
The Roth 5-year rules. They seem to always confuse people. So we're not going to get into the whole Roth. Remember, this is things that made me go, So when we went over this, I thought to myself, this is confusing enough that I think people will be interested in knowing it. Hmm. It originally had to do with the distribution order of Roth 401ks, which will be the next thing we talk about, the second thing that made me go, But this thing that I'm going to review with you, I believe we reviewed it at the Ed Slot meeting, folks. But when I was preparing for today's show and reading the manual, I do that. When I prepare, I kind of read two or three pages above and two or three pages below and kind of get a good feel for things. I came across something that I know he reviewed it. I must have been busy checking emails or something because I can't really remember talking about this because I would have written it down as a thing that makes you go, because I think our listeners would be interested in this. I believe you already know this, Chris, or if you didn't, we've already talked about it in the past. And like me, we just forget every now and then. But it has to do with the 5-year holding period. When you transfer a Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, talk about throwing a little bit of loop in things. Mm-hmm. So before we get deep, because yours truly is going to go grab a drink, so Chris is going to talk to you about what in the heck we mean by 5-year rules and that there's two of them. Why don't you give people just kind of a quick breakdown of what those 5-year rules will be, and I will be right back in about 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll do my best. So there is two. One of the 5-year rules has to do with being able to remove earnings from the Roth tax-free. So hard stop right there. So one rule has everything to do with being able to get earnings out tax-free. The other rule has to do with avoiding the 10% early withdrawal penalty on conversions that you've done from a traditional IRA. So if you can get clear in your mind those two issues, I think it'll be easier to not get these things confused. So again, one rule has totally to do with, can I get the earnings out tax-free? The other one is, can I get the distributions from the Roth out without paying an early withdrawal penalty because I've converted those dollars? So let's start with the first one. The first one all has to do with making a qualified distribution from the Roth. Now that qualification means, is it qualified to be treated tax-free and penalty-free? And always know that the money you deposit or contribute to the Roth is always available to you, tax and penalty free, at any time for any reason. So all we're talking about is the treatment of potential earnings in the Roth. For you to get access to those earnings with the same beneficial treatment that your contributions enjoy, removal, tax and penalty free, it has to satisfy the 5-year rule as one of the key elements, and that is the Roth has to have been opened for 5 years. Essentially, it's 5 calendar years, so it isn't necessarily 5 times 365, so you can satisfy it in as little as, you know, 3¾ years or something like that, technically, depending on when you do it. So it has to be open in 5 separate calendar years. Then you've met that 5-year rule, which along with meeting the other criteria for a qualified withdrawal, you're 59 and a half or older, died, disabled. And this one, I don't think the first time home issue comes in, but it might be. But so we're not talking about those extra things you have to do to qualify the earnings to come out tax-free, but you do have to have that 5-year clock. If your Roth has not been open at least 5 years, even if you satisfy, say, the 59 and a half age limit, you still can't get to the earnings tax-free because it hasn't met that first 5-year rule. So that's that first 5-year rule. It's all about getting the earnings out tax-free. The second 5-year rule is to prevent a loophole. Everyone knows that your traditional IRA monies, when they come out, are taxable. And if you take them out prior to 59 and a half, unless you have another exception, you're also going to pay a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Well, Roth contributions are not subject to any type of early withdrawal penalty. So when they allowed conversions from the traditional to the Roth, they realized, my gosh, people are going to use this as a loophole. They will do a conversion and pay the taxes like they would if they had to, if they distributed from their traditional IRA. But if they're younger than 59 and a half, they could convert it first. And then that after-tax money is sitting in the Roth. It's not earnings. It's conversion money, which is similar to contributions, not quite, but similar. And they'd be able to take that money out then and avoid the 10% penalty that they otherwise would have been hit with if they took the money directly as a distribution from the traditional IRA. So they enacted the second five-year rule, which states, in order for you to access converted money in your Roth IRA penalty-free, the converted dollars have to sit in the Roth for at least 5 years, unless you hit the other reason for getting money out tax-free, which is 59.5, or penalty-free, I should have said, to be more specific, because this is all about the 10% early withdrawal penalty. So if you do a conversion when you're 59, you only have to wait until you're 59.5 to be able to take that money out penalty-free. But if you do it when you're 45, you've got to wait until for 5 years. You've got to wait until you're 50 before you could take that converted money out penalty-free. So those are the 2 5-year rules that we talk about, and people get all confused, I think, because they blend them together and they don't realize what the 5-year rule is kind of shielding you from or allowing you to do by hitting the 5-year clock. And there's a lot of confusion surrounding this, as was evidenced by people, you know, well known who, are well schooled in retirement planning topics like Susie Orman. Even the best of us can screw it up sometimes, but that's my best summary of the 2 5-year rules that apply to Roths. So I'm sure that gave Jim plenty of time to get his drink of choice brewed up, because he's usually pretty quick.
I rushed and then realized I had plenty of more time, so I went and started my oven too. But I got a protein drink because I did not have lunch, and for breakfast I just had a banana and a bowl of cereal. So I was kind of hungry. And then I have to go out and run some errands. And I thought, I'm going to eat first while you're rambling on about this, so I have time to go start my oven, because I'm going to put a pork chop in the oven and have a roasted pork chop with some asparagus. I like air-fried asparagus with lemon oil and salt and pepper. And that's what I'm going to have for dinner. And that's what I want to start. I thought, see, if you go out shopping, Chris, mm-hmm. hungry, you buy all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But if I eat first, mm-hmm. I will not buy all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Good strategy.
And I thought a protein drink is not going to keep me from buying all sorts of stuff. I'm going to have actual dinner. So I will do that. All right. So, folks, I think you did a very good job. The only thing I want to add clarity on is the first-time home purchase. So Chris is correct. A qualified distribution, the first five-year rule he talked about, not the age 59.5 five-year rule. For a qualified distribution, 2-prong test. We all know it's a prong. The first prong, Roth has to be 5 years old, as Chris rightly pointed out. And the holding period, if you're starting a new one, can be as short as about 3.5-ish years or so, if you look at the timing of everything, how they do it, which we won't bore you with. But about 5 years, you'll call it, technically speaking, 5 years, and one of the following 4 elements. So prong number 1 for a 2-prong test, Roth is 5 years old. Prong number 2, you're over 59.5, you're dead, doesn't work for you, but helps your beneficiaries. You're disabled, again, not really the best for you. Or you're buying a first-time home, and you're going to take earnings out up to $10,000. Yeah. But that only applies to IRAs, Roth IRAs, not Roth 401ks. And that's what we're talking about today. Many of you have Roth 401ks. What's the holding period if you move a Roth 401k to a Roth IRA? And it can get a little bit confusing, no surprise. So I thought we would review this again. I know we talked about this in the past. And Chris, when it comes to Roth 401ks, you came up with a nice, usually I come up with the metaphors or the visualizations. You came up with a good one that I have stolen since then, but you call a Roth IRA that meets the 2-prong test. Roth 401k is 5 years old, and the owner of the Roth 401k is over 59 and a half, dead, again, doesn't help him any, or disabled, no first-time home purchase. But one of those three elements, in addition to the Roth 401k being 5 years old, you call all the money in that Roth 401k what?
I call it seasoned. It's, and I don't know where that came to me other than like you know, your cast iron. It's once it gets seasoned, it's ready, and it keeps that status essentially. Or it's seasoned is another, you know, and a synonym for aged.
Your visualization is a cast iron pan seasoned. I visualized a nice roast beef that's fully been seasoned with cracked pepper and other spices on top.
That wasn't my intent. That wasn't my intent.
That's what I envision. When you say season, I get that visualization of a nice roast.
Yeah. So it was more that it was aged to perfection, kind of an idea that it's taken on this patina that it retains like copper. So that was my intention with that word seasoned. And to point out that even if you move those dollars to the Roth IRA, even if the Roth IRA is itself hasn't reached the 5-year rule, those dollars that come from the 401k don't lose their seasoning. They've retained that patina that they have is, you know, irreversible.
Correct. So this is what might make some of you go, what Chris just said. Let's put it a little bit deeper dive here and give you an example. So when you move money from a Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, the holding period that applies is the holding period to the Roth IRA. That's the holding period that will determine the taxability of the earnings. So let's look at two scenarios. When you move your 401k, your Roth 401k, and let's just assume you're doing it as a direct trustee-to-trustee transfer, no rollover involved. That gets a little too complicated, and I don't feel like doing that on today's show. So let's just say trustee-to-trustee transfer. The Roth 401k is going to send the Roth 401k assets directly to a Roth IRA. There's only two types of movements you're going to do. The assets inside the 401k are seasoned. In other words, it's qualified. The Roth 401k was at least 5 years old and you were over 59 and a half, dead. Again, that would be your beneficiaries doing it, or disabled. Or they're not going to be seasoned, meaning your Roth 401k was not 5 years old, or it was 5 years old, but you were not dead, you were not disabled, and you are not over 59 and a half. Those are really the only two scenarios that can happen. You're moving a seasoned Roth 401k or a non-seasoned. Or to put in industry parlance, you're doing a qualified distribution. Technically, it's a distribution, even though you're doing it trustee to trustee. Or you're doing a non-qualified distribution. So far, so good, Chris. Can you follow my logic?
Yes, I think that makes sense. Yep.
Perfect. So let's look first at someone with a seasoned Roth 401k. Most of our listeners have probably been investing and doing things for quite some time. So let's just assume you have a seasoned Roth 401k. And let's assume there's $100,000 in it. Let's say $50,000 of Roth 401k contributions, $50,000 of growth. Okay, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Now, when you move the money to a Roth IRA, there's really only going to be one of two scenarios again. That Roth IRA is going to be more than 5 years old or less than 5 years old. Correct, Chris?
Yeah.
Pretty much all there is.
Right.
And remember, I told you the holding period of the Roth IRA applies. So let's take the absolute worst case scenario. You don't have a Roth IRA, but you don't want to leave the money. If you have a Roth IRA and it's over 5 years old, you can see where this is going. Let's look at the worst scenario. You don't have any Roth IRA. And I just told you the holding period of the Roth IRA applies, not the holding period of the Roth 401k. So now you have this season. Again, I'm envisioning this nice, you can tell I'm hungry, this nice roast with all this black, I love black cracked black pepper seasoning on my roast, all baked in, nice caramelized at the top. Getting hungry. You've got this 401k, this $100,000 roast moving into a brand new Roth IRA because you don't have an existing Roth IRA. You've got a seasoned Roth 401k, so it's more than 5 years old. You're over 59 and a half. You're dead or you're disabled. And again, I acknowledge people, if you're dead, you're not the one moving it. Your beneficiaries are. So you've got the roast, but now, Chris, you're putting the roast in a Roth IRA that is just brand new. It's a day old. It was opened literally the day the money is moving in. It's brand spanking new. And you're sitting there hungry like I am because you haven't really eaten all day and you want to eat some of that $100,000 roast. And you're sitting there thinking, I can't. I'm going to have to pay taxes on my roast. I can't eat it. Chris, can you eat that $100,000 roast?
You can, actually.
Absolutely, folks. Now, again, follow our logic here. You're not eating $100,000. What you have is $50,000 of Roth 401k contributions, after-tax contributions, and $50,000 of growth. You moved that to a brand new Roth IRA. You now want to take out $60,000. We all know the ordering rules. Once you get that money into a Roth IRA, contributions come out first. I told you $50,000 of contributions were made into the Roth 401k. That carries over to the Roth IRA, that layered cake, if you will. You want to take $60,000 out tax-free, and you're sitting here thinking, I can't, my God, I don't have a five-year-old Roth IRA. And you might be thinking, well, I can get $50,000 out tax-free because that's my contributions. And even though they would move pro rata, this is another thing we'll talk about, but that made me go, even though in a Roth 401k, they would have came out pro rata, moving them to a Roth IRA allows you now to get that first $50,000 out of contributions. So far, so good, Chris?
Yeah.
But now you've got another 10 grand to take out. But I told you, get the visualization in your heads that that Roth 401k was either Chris's visualization of a well-seasoned cast iron pan or my visualization, a well-seasoned pot roast or roast beef that you want to chow down on. Chris, can you get $10,000 of roast beef out of that IRA also tax-free, even though the Roth IRA is not 5 years old and you are now dipping into growth?
You can, because the seasoning sticks on those dollars that came over from the 401k.
I was hoping you went a little further. I was eating my protein shake. You threw me for a loop. I thought you were going to go a little bit longer on that. So Chris, very quickly, unlike me, who tends to go a little bit longer, was correct. The $50,000 of growth maintains its seasoning. Whether that seasoning in your visualization is a cast iron pan or my roast, those $50,000 are also accessible. So follow me here now. Let's say somebody does this and takes out just $50,000 from that IRA, just 50 from that Roth IRA. No taxes, no penalties. Hopefully you guys all realize why. The seasoning carries over, and the first dollars out of the Roth IRA are just the contributions. Contributions always come out first. No taxes, no penalties. You can take them out at any time. Pre-59 and a half, post-59 and a half, the day after you put them in, doesn't matter. No taxes, no penalties on the contribution. So half of that roast can be consumed. The other half, though, stays inside, and a year goes by. And now that $50,000 grew to $60,000. You have $50,000 of earnings that came over from the 401k, and you have an additional $10,000 of earnings. So far, so good, Chris?
Yes.
Now, you want to take the additional $10,000 out. I told you originally you wanted $60,000, but you only took $50,000. Now a year goes by and you need that extra $10,000. Chris, it's essentially all growth inside that Roth IRA, is it not? Technically speaking.
Technically, yes.
It's all growth inside the Roth IRA. It is not a qualified distribution in the truest sense. You might be over 59 and a half, but your Roth IRA is only 1 year old. Technically, it's probably closer to 2 years old, the way they do the counting, but it is no way near 5 years old. And now you dip in and you take out $10,000. Why is it still tax-free, Chris?
Well, it's almost considered basis like a contribution in that Roth as it retained its seasoning from the 401k.
Exactly. So you still have to get through the remaining $50,000, yes, of growth, but qualified growth.
Right.
So it doesn't lose that seasoning when it was inside the 401k, the Roth 401k, and it was moved to the Roth IRA. You could actually take another $50,000 out of that Roth IRA. And in my example, I said it was now worth 60. You could take 50 more out and leave 10 in. And now the spigot is shut off until that Roth IRA itself becomes seasoned, to use Chris's parlance, qualified, to use the industry parlance. And qualified means two-prong test. The Roth is at least 5 years old. And in my example, it's only two right now. And you are over 59 and a half, dead or disabled. In my example, the person was over 59 and a half. So only one of the two prongs was satisfied. So that growth needs to sit in that Roth IRA a little bit longer. But so many people miss, Chris, the seasoning of their Roth 401k when they're moving it. And they panic that, oh my God, I don't have a Roth IRA. I can't get this money out. Nope, you can. And that's what I wanted to point out. So far, so good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. The other pot, let's say you have the same Roth, a different Roth 401k, $50,000 of contributions, $50,000 of growth. The Roth IRA is 5 years old, and you move it to a Roth 401k, rather, is 5 years old, and you move it to a Roth IRA, but you are not 59 and a half. You're 49 and a half. Chris, is that a qualified seasoned distribution?
No.
No, not at all. You don't have a well-seasoned cast iron pan, or you got a half-raw, half-cooked roast in front of you. You didn't satisfy both prongs of the test. So now you move it to a brand new Roth IRA. What happens now? Now it comes to ordering rules. The $50,000 of contributions in the 401k Roth transfer, and the Roth IRA essentially has $50,000 of contributions. But the remaining $50,000 of growth was not seasoned, folks. So that $50,000 of growth follows the qualified distribution rules. The Roth IRA has to be 5 years old, and you have to be over 59 and a half dead or disabled. So even if that person who's 49 and a half moves the 100,000 over, right away they can take the 50,000 of contributions out. No problem. And let's say they do that and they take that 50,000 of contributions out. Now they have $50,000 of growth. They let that Roth IRA sit there for 5 years, and it grew again, folks, to $100,000 5 years later. Chris, is it qualified yet? Can they still get that money? It's growth. It's all growth. They put no more money in. They took all the growth out that first year. They put all the contributions out. They never put another red cent into it. They've waited the 5 years. Can they get that $100,000 out tax-free yet, Chris?
Not yet, because they haven't met the second prong with the 59 and a half.
No, Chris is 100% correct. They could die, and their beneficiaries could get it out, and that's not good for them or their beneficiaries, because they're going to be sad that you passed. You could sadly become disabled, and it's the very strict Social Security definition of disability. But barring those two horrendous things, you have to be over the age of 59 and a half or buying a first-time home. Now that the money's inside a Roth IRA, that prong still stands. The Roth IRA is 5 years old, and you are taking up to $10,000 of earnings. So not the full $100,000. There's $100,000 of earnings in my example. The $50,000 of earnings doubled 5 years later. And you now have $100,000 of earnings. If the IRA owner was buying a first-time home and was only taking out $10,000 of growth, that could come out qualified or tax-free. So do keep that pot in mind. Okay, hopefully this cleared the air. And the first-time home buyer, a few people actually qualify for that. But if you did, it's something to consider. But for the most part, in our example, this person would have to wait until 59 and a half, or the Roth IRA at that point is going to be 10 years old, but they still have to wait to get the rest of the money out because there's no more contributions left in it. In my hypothetical example, they could have added contributions over the 5 year period and take those out at any time.
Yeah.
All right. So far, so good on that. I guarantee you we're going to get a question or two, but it made me go, that we have to talk about this. We haven't gone over that unique aspect in a while.
In a little while.
Okay.
Yep.
So let's get to some other things that made me go, if you will. Alrighty, so let me bring up just a couple of pages from where I currently am. I don't know why my touchscreen doesn't work for scrolling. Do you understand why? Or is it just because it's my computer?
I couldn't tell you.
I can use my touchscreen on a PDF to like hit a word and highlight it, but if I try to slide my finger down the touchscreen or up the touchscreen of this new laptop, it won't scroll
Sometimes you have to tap the document that you're on before you do it.
Oh, I'll try that.
Because maybe it's lost its focus on the document.
All right, so the next part that I want to talk about is the pro, and I kind of hinted about that, and I wanted to talk about the pro rata rule on Roth 401ks, if you didn't move them to a Roth IRA. Are you familiar with the pro rata rule, Chris?
If it's the one I'm thinking you're talking about, then yes. It's the fact that if you have these mixed dollars, even though we, at your work, you have what you in your mind probably think is two separate accounts. You've got your traditional 401k and you have your Roth 401k. In reality, it's all under one big umbrella, and they just kind of, it's almost like sub accounts rather than two separate accounts. And the way these 401ks are structured is when you have a blend of different tax treatment on dollars in there, it has to come out as you take distributions in a pro rata manner. There's
right.
You mentioned that rolling it over to a Roth IRA is technically a distribution. That's true. It's at that point that they will actually let you separate that cream from the coffee and send the traditional dollars to your traditional IRA and the Roth dollars to your Roth IRA. But if you're taking just a regular distribution, it generally is going to come out pro rata blended.
Okay, that is not the pro rata that I'm going to. Okay. And I think you are confusing what used to happen with the TSP, but mm-hmm. you can... Now, maybe there are some 401ks, so this isn't the example I was going to give, and it's not the example we reviewed. The example we reviewed did not prorate between the Roth 401k and the traditional 401k. Was that what you were getting at?
I think most modern 401ks with modern language allow you to separate the two. But I have seen cases, and maybe it is my remembrance of the old TSP rules, where things came out in a blended fashion, and you didn't have much control over the pre-tax and the post-tax parts of your retirement account. I think you're clearly thinking about pro rata within the Roth 401k.
Within the Roth 401k. While I'm reviewing this, because mm-hmm. this is live recorded radio, folks, we call it, why don't you just Google it real quick and see. I don't believe that 401 traditional 401k distributions are pro rated across the Roth and the traditional at all. I don't believe it works that way.
Are you saying they never that way? I thought there were some like that, but I might be.
Why don't you look that up real quickly, and I'll explain to listeners what I'm talking about as Chris researches that. See, folks, live recorded radio, but also even Chris and I, who I'm not saying we know it all by any stretch, but we're fairly knowledgeable in this, and things constantly trip us up as well. Okay. So as he's looking at that, what I wanted to review with you, and I'm going to give you the exact illustration and sample that was reviewed with us during Ed Slott's 2-day. I don't believe it was Ed that reviewed this part. It was one of his minions. But the sample kind of explains things. Let's say, and he uses the example, he says, let's say Kathy has deferred $30,000 to a Roth 401k. So her contributions, they call them deferrals when they're going into a 401k, but we can call them contributions. Her contributions amount to $30,000. She has an account value in the Roth 401k of $40,000. So $10,000 of growth. Let's say she wants to take a distribution and it is a non-qualified distribution. So she doesn't satisfy the two-prong test. He doesn't really list which prong she didn't satisfy, so it doesn't matter to me. The Roth is either less than 5 years old or she's under 59 and a half. It's just a non-qualified, a non-seasoned distribution. If that 401k, that Roth 401k was moved to a Roth IRA, or if she had made $30,000 of contributions to a Roth IRA and it was now worth $40,000, she can take that $30,000 of contribution out anytime, no taxes, no penalties, and it's the first dollars out of a Roth IRA. But in a Roth 401k, it's different. Even though they're both Roths, it's different. A non-qualified distribution does not, the 401k, the Roth 401k, does not have that very disciplined layering, kind of like a stack of pancakes, where you can have one pancake at the bottom representing your contributions, another pancake representing a conversion, another pancake representing another conversion the following year. You could have 6 or 7 pancakes of conversions. And the top pancake is growth. When you take money out of a Roth IRA, it's that pancake analogy, and it always starts with the bottom pancake. Your contributions, no matter when they were made, come out first. Then your conversions in the order that they were made come out. And only after those two are gone do you get to the top pancake, which represents all the growth. Well, a Roth 401k is different. It's like you took that pancake, that stack of 6 or 7 pancakes, you put it in a blender, and you turn that blender on. Everything is mixed in. So in her example, the slot group walked us through and said, hey, she put in 30, it's now worth 40. So she has about 3/4 contribution, 1/4 growth. If she took out $12,000, if this was in an IRA, Roth IRA, all 12 is tax-free to her. Why? It's a representation of the $30,000 of contributions. It's that first pancake on that stack at the bottom. Not at the top, it's at the bottom. Contributions, that first pancake. But inside the Roth IRA, it's all mixed in. So that $12,000 distribution, 3/4 is tax-free, or $12,000. But 1/4, or $9,000, is taxable to her. Now, wait a minute. I think the math in my head was wrong. It was, yeah, $12,000 coming out. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm correct. $12,000 coming out. I'm sorry here. Yeah, she takes a distribution of $12,000. $9,000, 3/4. God, I can't get this straight. $9,000, or 3/4 of the 12, is tax-free. $3,000, or 1/4 of the distribution, is taxable because she had to take a bite from both pancake stacks, if you will. The very first pancake, which was her contribution, she took the bigger bite, it was 3/4, but she had to take a smaller bite, 1/4 bite, from the top pancake, or growth. So that kind of makes some people go, in the sense they think the ordering rules of IRAs will apply to Roth 401ks, and they don't. But had she moved that $40,000 Roth 401k to a Roth IRA, she could have ate from that very first pancake of $30,000 growth for that $12,000 distribution. Okay, Chris, back to what you were going to research.
So I've seen a little conflicting info, but I'm pretty sure that the right answer is I was in my mind attaching the pro rata rule as it applies to after-tax contributions and pre-tax contributions that are on the traditional side of the 401k. Those come out pro rata, but they don't scrape the Roth in there, although I saw some claims that that's exactly how it does work unless the plan is designed not to do that. So it's possible you might have an ancient plan which treats the Roth 401k part of your 401k like the after-tax contributions to the traditional side, which were allowed even before Roths were created. But I think in any modern 401k, the only pro rata rule related to what I was describing only applies to the before and after tax portion that might be still sitting in the traditional side, not that's what's truly in the Roth 401k piece.
Okay. That's what I thought too, but I'm glad you checked and made sure. So the pro rata part that we were talking about, or at least I wanted to talk about, had to do with the scenario I laid out here. Non-qualified distribution from a Roth 401k will be taken pro rata, even if you have more than enough contributions in it to make up the full amount that you want to withdraw. So a way around that, assuming you can move the Roth 401k, is to move the Roth 401k to an IRA. This example of Kathy here that Ed gave, again, if she moved it to the Roth IRA, she could have got that $12,000 out without a pro rata issue, because the contribution, there was that stacked pancake example, applies inside the Roth IRA, but for some reason, inside a Roth 401k, you've got to bite pro rata all those different pancakes.
Yep.
Okay. You can tell I'm hungry with my analogies that I'm giving.
And roast and all that.
roasts and pancakes. I got everything going on here. Okay. This one is kind of makes you go, but it also makes you laugh, but also feel sorry for the guy. So this one goes back to a case on the age 55 exemption. We talk about that 55 exemption. We should probably add a little bit of clarity. The age 55 exemption. Do you want to dive into that and explain what that is? You want me to dive into it?
I can do it real quick. So essentially, normally we all understand that one of the ways to get money out of your retirement account without paying an early withdrawal penalty is to reach age 59 and a half. There's special carve-outs, though. If you have a retirement plan, like a 401k at your employer that you are retiring from, and you separate from service, which is the formal word for that we, you know, on this show usually are considering retirement, although you can separate from service much younger in life. But the point is, when you get to the point of separating for service, essentially once you're kind of retirement age or so, if you separate from service and take money out of the employer plan from which you separated service, as long as you separated from service in the year you turn 55 or later, they waive the early distribution penalty, not on all your retirement accounts, but the one retirement account from your employer that you retired from. So they essentially give you kind of a 4.5 year earlier access or so to your, and it could be technically more than that, because 59 and a half is to the actual day you turn 59 and a half. The age 55 rule is in the year you turn 55. So, but you, in any event, you get a over four year benefit as to be younger and still have access to some monies from a retirement account that it would otherwise affect you with 10% early withdrawal penalties had you taken the money out. But there's this exception for the employer plan from the employer that you retired from.
Okay, perfect. So that's the age 55 exemption. And what again trips up a lot of people, and Chris correctly pointed out, it's in the year you turn 55, so you could actually be 54.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you're going to turn 55 that year, you're covered. You can do the age 55 exemption. The thing that I want to point out is that there is a age 50 exemption for public safety employees that was made. This was made years ago. And they allowed certain groups of employees, generally people that are what we would call first responders, even though they are kind of greatly increasing the definition of first responders. But essentially, if you are a law enforcement officer, a firefighter, an EMT, a paramedic, custom officials, not every custom officials, but certain ones, air traffic controllers, which is interesting, Border Patrol officers, nuclear material couriers. How's that for a job? I drive nuclear materials around. U.S. Capitol Police, Supreme Court Police, and diplomatic security special agents. So they've got quite a big definition, and they'll probably keep expanding it, of people who can take money out as early as age 50. But that's still not the thing that made me go, Another element is Secure Act 2, which was passed a couple of years ago in 2022, further expanded this age 50 exemption for the public safety employees to say age 50 or 25 years of service. Mm. So somebody could start working at 20 for a law enforcement agency or a firefighting department. And at 45, separate from service. Technically, 44. As long as they separate in the year that they hit 25 years of service, I do not believe, and don't quote me on this, but I do not believe you actually have to hit the anniversary of the 25th year, but I could be wrong on that. Chris can Google it really quickly as I'm chatting. I don't believe you have to hit the anniversary, but then again, it wouldn't surprise me if Congress put that little loop in there just to screw us. But if you worked 25 years, then you could still be younger than 50. In my example, you would be 45. And you can take money out of that employer's retirement plan without the 10% early withdrawal penalty. And you are no way near at 45, in my example, 59 and a half. Yet you can get it out because of the special carve out to public safety employees. But that's still not technically the thing that made me go, hmm. What made me smile and made me kind of go, hmm, is what happened to a gentleman named Young Kim. And it has to do with the age 55 exemption. Young Kim was an attorney at a law firm. And at age 56, Chris, and last time I checked, is 56 past the age of 55?
Yes.
Thank you.
In my book.
At age 56, he separated from service from his law firm. And he took his 401k and he rolled it to an IRA. And then he took out $240,000 from the IRA. There was still plenty more money that he moved from the 401k at his law firm, but he took out $240,000. $36,000 of that $240,000 was for his son's education. But the remaining $204,000 was for other things. Mr. Kim paid his taxes, but he did not pay a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Well, a few years later, the IRS got a hold of him and said, hey, you owe us a 10% early withdrawal penalty. Now, once the IRS realized that $36,000 came from the IRA and went to education expenses, they said, hey, that $36,000 is exempt from the 10% early withdrawal penalty. But you owe us an early withdrawal penalty on the remaining $204,000. And to rub salt in it, we also want you to pay an additional 4,000 dollars, 20% accuracy-related penalty. And because it took us 6 years to figure this all out, we want you to pay penalties for delaying the payment of what you owed us for those 6 years as well. Pretty steep this man was being hit with.
Yeah.
So he took them to tax court and he laid out his argument. It shouldn't matter that I took the money out of a 401k or an IRA. I retired after 55 or after the year that I would have turned 55. I should be exempt from the 10% penalty. The tax court said no. So he argued to the tax court. Maybe he's an attorney. So he argued to the tax court. And this is taken directly from, it's all public record. He said, probably in exasperation, this makes no sense. And here's what the tax court said. And this is direct from the court. Kim insists that this makes no sense. He points he could have taken the money from the law firm's pension plan without the 10% additional tax. So why should it matter that he first moved the money from the law firm's plan to his IRA before being withdrawn? The answer is that the Internal Revenue Code, not the IRS folks, the Internal Revenue Code, Congress. Congress sets the IRC. The IRS just enforces it. And the tax court rightly pointed that out. The answer is that the Internal Revenue Code says it matters. Many parts of our tax code are compromises, and all parts reflect the need for lines that can't be deduced based on principles. Why can an employee withdraw money from an employer's plan without the 10% added tax at 55? But why can't they do it at 54? Why does the 10% additional tax apply to withdrawals at 59 and 181 days, but not 59 and 183 days? These questions cannot be answered by logical analysis. I love that line. That's where I'm going. That's what made me go, it made me laugh. Here is the tax code saying, the tax court. These questions cannot be answered by logical analysis. The tax code is written by politicians. Mm-hmm. Politicians are dumb as a frickin' brick, people. So these questions cannot be answered by logical analysis. The tax code is arbitrary. I just like that. Where they're kind of saying to the guy, yeah, we agree. It makes no frickin' sense. But it's in the tax code, and we just can't arbitrarily say, ah, yeah, you're right. It makes no sense. We'll let you do it. You can't. You have to go by what's in the code, and the code, for the most part, makes no frickin' sense.
Yeah.
I just kind of liked that, and that's what I wanted to share.
So I have an answer for your question about the public safety and that new rule where it could be age 50 or 25 years of service. It's going to be interpreted the same as they apply the age 55 rule. It's in the calendar year you turn that. And the reason why that is when you look to Secure 2, the way they worded it is they essentially said, for purposes of applying this rule for public safety, substitute age 50 or 25 years of service where it says age 55, everywhere it says age 55. So it retains that same interpretation. From everything I've just researched, and I went right to the IRC looking at this stuff. So I think there's our answer, and I'd love to hear someone if they have found that to be different. But so in the year you reach 25 years of service or in the year you reach 50 as a public safety employee, you can avoid the early withdrawal penalty from the retirement plan at that employer.
And I'm glad they did it that way. And that's what I was hoping they were going to do. But that's why I wanted you to check, though, because I knew the tax court thing was the one I was going to get to next. Mm-hmm. And where they said it makes no sense. They agree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for years, Chris and I have been asking, and granted, they got rid of it. But why was it always 70 and a half for RMDs? Why not 70 or 71? No one has yet to give us an answer on how they came up with 70 and a half. No freaking idea. So I'm glad they kept it this way to add some uniformity and simplicity to this. Mm-hmm. But you could theoretically have situations now, folks, where, yes, you could have someone. Remember, you guys are the vanguard. You guys are in front. People are going to you. Most people don't geek out on this. You guys do. So when you have colleagues and neighbors and friends and relatives come to you and ask you these questions, it is quite possible you could be talking to someone if you know that they used to be a cop or they used to be a firefighter or any of the other public safety people or air traffic controller or whatever. It is quite possible, depending on how long they worked, if they at least did inside their career 25 years, even though they are nowhere near 59 and a half, you might be able to help them get some money out of a retirement account without the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Yeah. They'll still have to pay taxes, but no penalty. Okay, we're going to wrap this up with one more because I'm hungry, and Ed called this the donut hole. So, donut. Do we have that?
No, I don't
have
that.
Who's that cartoon guy? Don't tell me. Homer Simpson. Yes. Donuts.
Yes, exactly.
No, you don't.
Now you can
that
remember
soundtrack.
That you nail his name, but regular humans that you meet on a day-to-day basis.
I struggle with Susie Orman all the time, and why I kept having "Girls Just Want to Have Fun," Cyndi Lauper in my head is beyond me. Okay, the donut hole, and this kind of did make me go in the sense because it's something we deal with constantly at the firm. But I never really thought of it that way. And it's the tax planning opportunity. So before I get into Ed's donut hole, Chris, I don't think we've used this analogy. Another one that Chris came up with, I used to call it, oh God, remember it was you, me, and Justin. Mm-hmm. I called it the tax hole.
Yeah.
Justin called it, I can't remember what Justin called it. I called it the tax planning hole, the tax hole. Mm-hmm. Justin, who was very intelligent, extremely competent, has a wonderful new career for years now at the local electrical utility. But when he started working for us, he was in his early 30s, and he used to giggle like a 12-year-old when I said tax hole. And one day we were going over, I don't know if you were in the room, we had a client case on the screen, and we visualized all the numbers into visual columns with different colors. So a competent planner can look at a visualized column of numbers and instantly pick up a mistake or instantly pick up when something is nice. And I walked in and I said, wow, they have a nice tax hole. And he started giggling like a 12-year-old.
Yeah. I think he used to call it the tax void, I'm pretty sure.
Tax void. He was the tax void.
Yeah.
And I was like, Justin, I said tax hole, not blank hole. And it's a nice one. So Chris, though, came up with tax planning window. Right. This kind of ties in to what Ed is saying. Yeah. But why don't you explain what tax void for Justin, tax hole for me, or tax planning window, which is what we now use at the firm. What do we mean by that, Chris?
So obviously I'm particular, to the tax planning window. And it represents those years after your earnings have stopped from work, but prior to your RMD age kicking in, where you have, if you think about it, you have similar circumstances. When you're working, you have forced income recognition. Might sound strange to hear your salary was forced upon you, but it's sent to you and you're forced to recognize it for income tax purposes. When you reach RMD age, you have, which is also after people have claimed Social Security as well, you have a lot of forced income thrust upon you in a lot of cases, assuming you have large accounts with RMDs applied to them. But there's a period between those dates where you don't have a lot of forced income necessarily. It's more discretionary. You can choose to take money out of an account that's taxable. You can choose to turn on certain income sources or not. You have more control. And because this opportunity opens and then closes, that's where I think the best name for it is a window. Like the window opens and then the window closes. The hole technically, I guess the hole could open and then hole could close, but I think we obviously day to day open
and
close our windows.
Well, the hole, Chris, is the way we visualized it with those bar graphs. And literally you could see their income while they're working. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden the bar graphs drop. And then all of a sudden they rose again when RMD started. And it created this void, and kind of like a hole, if you can imagine that visualization. So I used to call it the tax hole in my defense.
Yeah.
But I much prefer Chris's tax planning window or tax window. So where are we going with this? Ed pointed out the obvious, and it made me go, It didn't make me go, because I didn't know it. We knew it because we called it the tax planning window. But he pointed out the obvious. Now, it differs slightly from what Chris said. Chris said from the point you stop working until RMDs begin, and you don't have that income forced upon you. Now, some people do, especially if they have a deferred comp plan that's paying out or things of that nature. But for the most part, you have full control over your earnings or your taxable income, if you will, during the tax planning window, because you can decide if you're going to spend from an always taxable, maybe taxable, never taxable account. You can decide if you're going to go to work part-time, if you're going to do consulting work or none. You have much better control of your income. Ed pointed out something, though, and he said, hey, between 59 and a half and RMD age, pretty much what Chris and I were talking about, except we keyed in off of from when income stops to retirement, RMD age, he said, there are absolutely no restrictions, no rules, and no penalties on your IRA. And it's the only time in your life of owning an IRA where the government has not imposed any rules, regulations, restrictions, or penalties. I never thought of it that way. I mean, it's what we talk about, but I never truly thought of it that way. And that did make me go, I was like, I never thought of it that way. But he's right. He called it the sweet spot and the donut hole. And I remembered it now because I'm hungry. Yeah. And I just started thinking about having dinner shortly. And not that he eat donuts, but donuts. So Ed called it the donut hole sweet spot for planning. And again, that's when they dove into doing tax planning. It very much represents our approach and the approach of, I'm sure, many competent financial planners. Not just that Chris and I were brilliant and thought of this. Most financial advisors also do this if they actively do planning and tax planning on top of that. If they're just AUM gatherers and asset managers, you might not even be mentioned that, gee, we should do some planning before RMDs begin. Or they might cursorily say, hey, you should talk to someone about maybe doing some Roth conversions. We think that's a good idea. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep taking 1% of your assets. That said, what Ed was trying to get at was only through the prism of IRAs and other retirement accounts and saying, hey, there are no rules, no regulations, no penalties. You've got free access to these dollars. It's the only time that a rule, a regulation, or a penalty is not going to apply to IRAs. All other times, there is some rule, regulation, or penalty that is applying to your IRA. Now, theoretically, we could have parsed hairs with him and say, well, if it was a Roth IRA and it didn't quite meet the five-year rules, there are still rules, regulations, and penalties. He would probably counter, I think he was talking specifically just traditional IRAs. So I get it. Theoretically, during this time period, there could still be with a Roth IRA, if you don't have that, you got one five-year rule taken care of, the age 59 and a half, but if you don't have the first five-year rule that the Roth is 5 years old, theoretically, there's still a rule, regulation, and penalty that could apply. Yeah. But I kind of like his approach to that, and then he went on a tirade of tax planning strategies and opportunities. And if you ever saw Ed or saw his PBS specials, when he starts talking about tax planning, he is huge in life insurance. So he got into a lot on life insurance that I won't bore you guys with, but he's huge when it fits to leveraging the taxability of IRAs to the tax-free income, or not income, I hate using it that way, the tax-free payment that a life insurance policy will pay out at your death to your beneficiaries that can easily be left to trusts for protection and control, whereas IRAs left to trusts for protection and control will be gobbled up by taxes, subject to all sorts of rules, regulations, and penalties. It's just all sorts of crap. And life insurance was just a lot easier. We've talked about many of these strategies on the show, and I'm sure in the future we'll talk about them again. Yeah. Anyways, that's the last thing that really made me go, hopefully you found the show is entertaining and cute, Chris, like you saw the first show. But I think we dove deep into quite a few little topics and hopefully gave our listeners some food for thought.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing those. I'm sure you haven't fashioned a show idea for next week quite yet, unless you want to spill the beans with plans I don't know about.
I have absolutely no idea what next week's show is going to be about.
The only thing we know is there will be a show next week, barring some disaster. So you can look forward to that. Unknown topic at this point, but we'll do our best to live up to the EDU mantra, make it educational in our own special way. We really appreciate everybody listening. If you want to send in questions to our Q&A show, send those directly to Jim, jim@jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. On the subject line, make sure you indicate it's a question for the show and maybe include a couple words about the topic. That's always helpful. And everybody take care. And we will be back with you next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Salmier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Salmier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salmier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.